Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Monday, the 13th of September. I hope you're all well. Nice to see reports of people having a good weekend. Kevin Kelly, James Carrigan, particularly pleased for these guys. And whilst one weekend doesn't make your betting career, it's the fact of getting those steps towards sort of being positive, believing it. And just the positivity that brings to sort of erase some scarring. So absolutely fantastic. As I've said, I do think we'll see football settle down and return to normal. And I think, you know, that's as a result of that betting performance then returns to normal. May take a wee while, but all certainly heading in that direction. So, yeah, no, really good. Well done, guys. Fantastic. A couple of winners on the 100-day challenge for me to start things off, which was nice. Done a good NFL selections in the Telegram group. Only one loser out of six or seven bits. Can't remember how many I put up. So for a nice few bits of profit. Yeah, all good. And all that, of course, vastly outdone by Emma Raducanu. Just absolutely brilliant, amazing. I mean, genuinely, I've been racking my brains, and Eddie, you put Leicester up as a comparable, and it is Leicester winning the league was phenomenal. But I genuinely cannot think. It's just an extraordinary moment in British sports history that to play 10 games, not drop a set, ranked 300 and something in the world not long ago. The meltdown at Wimbledon, which I watched and just felt horrendous for the girl, to come back and win that. And I think, you know, an audience, just capture a nation, capture an audience that, you know, the majority of us watching that aren't tennis watchers, without a doubt. I'm not, I watch Wimbledon, watch a little bit of French Open, watch a little bit of US Open. That's about it. Absolutely brilliant, just fantastic. I genuinely was on the edge of my seat, like a lot of you were, I'm sure, particularly having watched her at Wimbledon and thinking she's got that sort of meltdown in her. You know, I'm not, others are far more qualified to talk about it than I am because I'm not a big tennis man, so I don't know what she's been like since then. I know she's been in the States for a while, but just absolutely, I mean, I got up and watched the semi-final. Just amazing how the game got me. Just so badly wanted her to do well and win it. But just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. I honestly think it's just one of the most extraordinary sporting achievements I've seen by a Brit. Football slightly different. You've got, obviously, they're not all British. They've got a lot of foreign imports and a lot of, you know, it's a team game. But yeah, Leicester's thing was fantastic, don't get me wrong, unbelievable, particularly in the footballing conditions. But just for a single person, I just thought that the other day was something else. And as people have said, she did talk about process and mindset. I think she is a listener, not far from me, hour away, Bromley. Yeah, not far from me at all. I think it's all rubbing off. Like everybody else, I'm going to claim a bit of it. Honestly, I did see the things about people virtue signalling about Sadiq Khan. I totally agree. I think he's an absolute knob. And the old racist Farage popping up. I mean, he has got some front. I put it on Twitter. He has got some front not long ago. I don't want Romanians living next to normal people. I'm still going to ask him what a definition of normal people is. When he does one of his pub things, I think I'll go and hunt him down. And then jumping on it. Yeah, absolute fucking bellends, aren't they? Just, it's a great sporting achievement. Nothing more, nothing less. Absolutely fantastic. Well done, girl. And I mean, she's absolutely made, isn't she? She has got absolutely everything. Personable. Speaks well, fantastic at tennis, absolute sponsor's dream, life-changing, just brilliant, absolutely, genuinely one of the best things I've seen, brilliant. And then the Ryder Cup team was announced last night. Rose missed out, picked Lowry, Poulter and Garcia. Yeah, probably right. Good team, good event. Can't wait. I do love the Ryder Cup. It's probably one step down from the Open. It's the pinnacle, obviously, but probably above the Masters, isn't it? Put it in above the old Club Championship. Brilliant. And then, of course, there was the downer of... I knew it as soon as I saw Ari Winks in the team sheet. I have said it. I know I was singing top of the league. It's all I need now, like the don't dream it's over or something. Now, don't I? We're crap, aren't we? We're fucking useless. The whole thing through the summer, the managerial appointment, trying to convince us he's going to play good football. He took Wolves from 7th to 13th and to start with three defensive midfielders against Crystal Palace and they can't win the ball. A calamity of errors from the guys going to Argentina. So the Argentinians missing out, and Sanchez, they're stuck somewhere in Croatia, to Lloris putting Dier in trouble that he got injured and went off, to the red card. It was an absolute fucking farce, really. We are a farce of a club. And the stats underline it. I said we didn't play well against Wolves, and we didn't play well against Watford either. We did play well against City, to be fair. We did, that was a half-decent performance, but the two games since we were terrible and got away with 1-0 wins. But when you look at the stats underlying, I think we've had less shots than anybody else. We've conceded more shots than anybody else. We just look absolutely clueless in midfield. We look absolutely... And there's nobody to come in there. We've got Lo Celso. He ain't that good. He's another sort of... cousin of Lamella, absolute go round in circles with one foot. And Ndombele just hasn't done it, has he? He has got talent, the lad, but it's not happened for him at Spurs, and I've got no reason to think that it will. I mean, he can't even get in the team at all. So I think it's going to be a long, long, long season. I said we're playing, everybody's playing for fifth. I think seventh or eighth, Tottenham. We'll probably have Suggsy telling us now that... with us due to play Chelsea next, we're going to get absolutely fucking battered by them. We are going to get destroyed by them. This is where I'll be walking the dog this week. Yeah, I don't think we've probably got a chance. We're not that far behind. That'll be the Suggsy line, I expect. And then I'm going to have to suck it up because we've then got Arsenal the week after. I think Arsenal beat Burnley. They beat Norwich, as I said they would. So Arsenal beat Burnley. Then it's Arsenal-Tottenham at the Emirates. And if Arsenal beat Burnley, we lose to Chelsea. Arsenal beat us, they'll go level on points. So after my 3 weeks of laughing, I'm going to get absolutely destroyed, which is fair enough. I'll bring it on myself. So there we go. Because Suggsy will definitely be saying we can beat Arsenal. We've got no chance, Suggsy. I'm telling you now, we are not beating Chelsea. We are not beating Arsenal. We are absolute fucking pants, my friend. There you go. See you at the game Saturday. Well, I think I'll be stood down in the concourse drinking beer. Just listening to the Chelsea fans every 10 minutes go cheering a goal. Can you see Lukaku against that back line? Fucking hell, do me a favour. What else have we got? Where are we? What day is it? Where am I? 100. All my bets and things I'm going to put up at lunchtime. I get results and things a bit later now, so I'm getting into a new routine because FDD finished, so I've got to get into a new routine of doing things, and I get the results later in the day now. So anything midweek I will post a bit later, football wise. Weekends it will be early in the morning as always, but midweek I'm going to let all the results come in, do all my sort of admin, and then get into the selection process, so it'll be going out lunchtime. And looking forward to seeing a good few of you on Thursday as well. Got that, haven't we, coming up Thursday? A nice little beerage in London. Have a chat, talk betting. Right, I have added a blog post to the website. The link is in the Telegram group, but if you go to the website and look under the blog menu, just as we talk about this sort of modelling stuff and bits and pieces like that, I am aware, I'm more than aware, that when you start talking about modelling and using, as I said, words like last week, regression analysis, binomial distribution, Poisson distribution, Bayesian networks, once you get into that, and by no means am I a qualified or trained up statistician. I did do maths A level, and I've always had a keen interest in maths, but I'm not fantastic, or wasn't fantastic in Excel. Now I'm a legend for what I need it for, and I am aware that it's not a user-friendly subject. I think, again, you go back to why do people come into punting and betting, and they do it to make a living, and then obviously you have to look about how do you go about doing that, and I think you can go about doing it by... And the difference I say is, and I've thought about this a lot since last week, and you know, I stand by it. You don't find me... slagging other people off and this, that and the other. So you'll see people say, oh, the stats boys can't win this, that and the other. They probably don't. You know, that's the facts of it. If you're looking at stuff like Tottenham have been over 2.5 last 6 games, they probably don't. But a couple of people have emailed me that to say that they actually do okay looking at that sort of, which is absolutely fine. If you've got a method that you can find your way through that and do it and it makes you money, absolutely fine, and that's, again, you know, it's all about finding what suits you, what you want to work with. My overall view of all that, and it's just my overall view, is you've probably got to be a little bit more than that to have something that's sustainable. So how I bet from when I started now, you know, I started full time 14 coming up 15 years ago. How I did that then compared to what I do now is completely different. It's completely miles away, absolutely in a different, completely different area. And how I work is different because I've had to adapt. It's ever, ever changing. You know, Betfair changes, liquidity changes, price modelling changes. Betfair, when it started, was, you know, I've said it many times, it was an absolute, you know, it was like, shooting apples in a barrel or whatever with a harpoon. It was absolutely simple. They don't say that, do they? It's absolute bollocks, but I can't remember the right phrase. It is completely different. And when you're just using stats like, oh, Tottenham over 2.5, it's even, yeah, you might have had a period of winning, and we get that then. Is it regression to the mean? That can, does it keep going? Does it keep, can you keep that going? And that's where something of modelling can come in, but it isn't a user-friendly subject. I'm well aware of that, and it kind of scares people and frightens people off. And it did me a bit. You know, when I first met people like Chrissy Spreadsheets, I was very sort of, oh, they can't do that in Excel. They can't do what I want them to do. In Excel, and I sat and basically told him that, had that conversation with him. But then over time, you learn more, you develop more, and then you actually realise, wow, this is quite useful. And then from once you get that process going, it kind of becomes a sort of organic growth, because once you've made the start of it, then it becomes something that, you know, go back to my methods of asking questions. I ask myself more questions. I've got now new tools to try and find the answers to those questions. And you realise that you want to learn more about it. I'm not going to say it becomes addictive, but it becomes something that you want to grow. And of course, you then have to get that balance between constantly tweaking and fiddling with a model like you would with any selection process, and defining a path of what you're trying to do. And that's why my question method for me works for me. I like to write, that's what I want to do. And then I've got a sole point of focus that I'm moving in that direction. And anything else then becomes noise I don't need. So that's what I want to do today. How am I going to go about it? What question am I going to ask? What data do I need? But then you move. And of course, everything we use, you know, and I think I said it last week, is... everything's pretty much available, because most of us will actually end up using the same data. We will ultimately, it boils down to the results of football matches coming into a database in some way, and that data being broken down and then taking sections of that data and analysing it and seeing. So it's always inherently flawed, because we can never be exact. And I think that's the problem with people when they get into this sort of scary world of modelling. It's What does he mean? What's that mean? What's that mean? What's that mean? What do I use? Where do I use it? How do I get it from? But you don't need to have the best model in the world that's beating every football match. That's the thing. You don't need that. What we want to do is to have something that works and works for us. So for me, you know, people have a go at me and what I do and how I go about it and this and that. Absolutely fine. I do what works for me and what I enjoy doing in a way I enjoy working. And I try and share that. And people have the choice to listen to it or to go elsewhere. It's absolutely no skin off my nose what to the other. But I broke it down into the questions I want to ask. So what do I need from that? What, in effect, that becomes my input into my model. What do I need to answer that question? That becomes the input. Then a way to work with those inputs to produce, in effect, an output. How to use that output, we put it into a distribution model, Poisson, which I'll cover in a minute. From that, I get out a percentage. I turn that percentage into a price. I then compare that price to the market, and that's where I can look at value or what I perceive to be value. And then I can make my betting decisions based on that. So whilst that sounds quite convoluted, when you get into it, it actually becomes a fairly robust, reasonable program. The key to it for me is the inputs going in and how they're calculated and what comes out. And then one of the most important areas then is how do you actually use that? How do you use that information? And what's it done? So that's a basic way of working. And in effect, those of you in Ultimate, for example, you, as I've said, you've got these models. You've got Poisson coming out in a couple of weeks that's going to just do all this for you, give you a price. You've got the FTS odds that just do that and give you a price. It's not trying to be exact. It's not trying to be, oh, look, how did you know? I remember when I first started making the FTS odds available every single week without fail, every single week. Non-stop, I used to get, I see you've got Liverpool at X. How did you get that? I don't make them. That looks ridiculous. And I gave it the same reply every single time. One, I'm not telling you how I got it. And two, I couldn't give a monkey's what you thought. And when they were saying I make it X, I used to sometimes put back, so what did you base yours on? And of course, it was all hollow bollocks. So it isn't an exact science. And my... You know, I said it again, I said it last week, that it's about getting people to do things on their own. And we make a wealth of stuff available for you, you know, which is all a time-consuming job to collect. So we make that part of the job easier. So from then, it's, you know, I say to anybody, no model is wrong. Absolutely no model. Nobody can ever tell you that that model is wrong. They might disagree with it. They might not like the way you go about it. But they cannot say it's wrong. We can't say that Pinnacle's model's right. We can't say bookmakers get it right. We can't say Betfair's right. Because in amongst the whole collective noise of it all, mistakes are made by all of them. We do know, of course, that trying to bet every outcome in every market we can't win. And there's people who stick on that hallowed ground who say, that's why you'll never win, because they don't believe that anybody is skillful enough to find the bits in there that do win, which I find absolute nonsense. You'll find people who say, if you do not beat closing line every single time you have a bet, you can't win. Again, I find that argument, you know, nonsense. These are the things I like discussing with people. I've got no problem with it, but it's getting something personal to you that is not that other people, like, and this is where you've got to be strong when other people are shouting you down, you know. And I've had this constantly for the last 15 years. I get abuse non-stop, you know. I've still got an ongoing court case, nearly 800 pages of abuse that are linked to this, that it'd be going through. I mean, we're talking going to be ages away with the pandemic. We're talking end of 2022, 23 probably, before we get anywhere with it. But it's people, you know, jealousy. And that's where you've got to be strong, because it's all down to that. You know, like the guys posted had a good week this week. If they have a bad week next week, it will put them on a wobble again. And that's where you've got to be mentally strong and focused on what you're trying to do. And that's why I say, for me, answering questions. What do I want to do? Do it, build it, look at it backwards, move it forwards, test it. So just moving that on, when we get these, we talked last week about regression analysis. So in effect, we're trying to find a variable. We used winning in football. And then we try and find some statistics that we're going to analyse and use as independent variables to see their effect on winning. And I've put that on the blog post today. So, you know, Tottenham getting beat by Chelsea this week, without doubt. But you would look at, or you may look at, how many, you know, I'm very home and away specific. How many games have Tottenham won at home in the X number of games? How many games have Tottenham won against top six opposition or top four opposition at home in the last X? And obviously the period that you go back becomes relevant. You know, one of the things I'm often asked is how far back do you go? For me, I sort of like 2-3 year data, but like my Poisson model's rolling, so it kicks off games in effect. It kicks off games at the back end and adds new data. So I'm always getting refreshed by what's happening now, as opposed to what happened 5 years ago, which may have no relevance at all when Tottenham were half decent. And then you might get into goals. How many goals are Tottenham scoring at home? How many are they conceding at home? How many are Chelsea scoring away? How many are they conceding away? That's all easy numbers. That's just numbers coming in that you can then calculate. So we could say, right, Tottenham have scored 20 goals at home. And they've conceded 5, and Chelsea have scored 28 goals away and conceded 2. So there's 4 defined numbers. You could then say, how many goals have Tottenham scored against top 4 opposition at home in X games? Oh, 2. How many have they conceded? 12. How many have Chelsea scored away to mid-table teams, which Tottenham now are? 14, and only conceded 1. So all of a sudden now, all I've just got is numbers. I've got numbers that I can use, but then you can look at league averages. So you could see, right, when not, and this is what I like, you know, a lot of my stuff is done of levels of teams in effect, and it can be a bit subjective, as into somebody might rank Tottenham better than me. Sucks, he would probably have them in the top 4. West Ham fans would be getting above their station and saying they're going to win the league. So again, you've got to be you've got to be sensible about it and try and put a personal view on a team to one side and be actually logical. And there's data to do that. You've got historic league tables and things. So, you know, at the minute, we cannot say anything other than Man City are a top, top tier team. Chelsea are a top, top tier team. Liverpool are a top, top tier team. Tottenham had a couple of years as a top team, but they're not a top, you know, they're not in that bracket. So you have to be, you know, we're the ardent Tottenham, oh no, we're up with him, but you have to be sensible about it. So once you do that, then you can say, right, so Tottenham versus Chelsea, we've looked at Tottenham's home goals. What's the league? How many, you know, when Chelsea play away, what's the league average against them? What's Chelsea's goal scoring compared to the league average? So the league average is teams are scoring 1.6 goals, but Chelsea are scoring 2.2. So now we've got another number. So all in effect we're doing now is collecting numbers. That's all it is. We're taking, all I've done there is take goal data or match data and turned it into numbers and percentages. You can then put all that together, particularly goal data. In effect, goal data, you would need home team's goals scored, home team's goals conceded, away team goals scored, away team goals conceded, league team goals scored average, league team goals conceded average, and you'll have them one above the other. And you can take those numbers and already built into Excel, and you can Google this stuff. I will try and do some perhaps a couple of videos on it later in the season. But, you know, those of you who are going to do our training, it's all done for you. In effect, you literally put those numbers into Excel and you get into a distribution model. And that's probably the next guide of it. It's basically a probability distribution. So rather than just focusing on the one outcome of Tottenham winning, putting those numbers into a probability distribution model, which Poisson is, that's all it is, it's just a named distribution model, it gives the likelihood of the occurrence of all the different possible outcomes, in this case goals scored, if we're using Poisson, we're going to put goal data in, we're going to get out then the probability of every single scoreline. So we're going to get 0-0, 1-0 there, and everyone gets given a percentage. It's all done in Excel. It's literally a Poisson formula built into the program. And then once you've got that information out, in effect, all it is then is percentages. And then we would add up, so we would have 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, 3-1, 2-1, 4-1. We would add up all those percentages and we would get a percentage for home win added all together. We would add up all the percentages of the draw scorelines, 0-0, 1-1, 2-2, 3-3, 4-4. Obviously the 4-4, 5-5, they're going to be minuscule. You go to whatever you want. Mine goes to 10 goals, I think, either way. So it might be 0.001% for 4-4. But all that goes up. Now we've got a draw percentage. Then we've got a away win percentage, all the away scores. Then we add up all the ones that are over 1.5 goals. We've got a 1.5%. Then we've got a 2.5% adding up all the score lines over 2.5 goals. So in effect, we just create a table of all these percentages. We can convert those percentages into odds. And then we can see what odds are available. And that basically is the process of it. It sounds complicated, but there's loads of stuff online that'll explain it far better than me. It's a way to learn. But the starting point before we get to the putting it in the distribution model stage, and you know, there's Bayesian networks. I have to make perhaps talk about them next week. That's another form of predictive distributions. In effect, we've still got to get some input to put into it, and that I think is the starting point for people. Is people look and go, what input do I need? What shall I use? And a lot of people, to be fair, I mean, and the summer school's been, you know, what happened Saturday's been a great example of it. You want to, and those of you who haven't watched the summer school video at the top of the page I did Saturday, perhaps you should. Is it requires a bit of work, and I think that's the one difference with a lot of this is people don't want to put any work in, and I work harder now than I did 14 years ago, but that's a level of sort of self-pride now that I want to keep beating the game, and what I did 14 years ago isn't as easy, so I want to keep beating the game. So you know, I could sit back now, kick my heels up and never do fuck all again, but I wouldn't be happy doing that. So it's a matter of, I've learnt about this stuff and built it in over the last 4 or 5 years. You know, ELO models, Poisson models, Dixon Cole models, Roos Halvorsen models, and a great help doing it. People like Art being absolutely fantastic. You know, don't think I'm sitting here doing it all myself, because I'm not. But you can learn the crux of it yourself. You know, I'll go to Art and say, this is what I want to do. I might not have the technical skills to do it, but this is where I want to try and get to. So I'm starting again with that question. This is what I want to do. How can I answer it? And I think that's the point I'm trying to make to people is, if you get into, in effect, what you should do now, really, just thinking about it as I'm talking, is almost create a timeline of, right, first thing I need to do is come up with a question. Then I need to know what data can affect that question. Then I need to know where I'm going to get that data. Then I need to know how I'm going to use that data and what am I trying to get out at the end of it. And you'll work through a sort of, just like, you know, project managing a job, really. This is where I'm going to get to. And obviously along that way, you need help. And that's where people like me can come in and say, right, do it this way or go and do that, or they can help you. But it starts with, you know, what is it you're trying to achieve? What's the data? And then there are tools out there that aren't difficult to use. Poisson in Excel is not difficult to use. And once you've got that going, it churns it out. But don't worry so much. I said it last week. Don't worry so much about all this being an exact science and the preciseness of it and everything. What you basically need to start off is a model that gives you a bit of a heads up and a bit of an advantage over the people that we're trying to take on the exchange. And whilst the exchange has become more sophisticated and it has been you know, there's some big players and some sophisticated it's still got a load of numpties on it. You only need to look at Twitter on a Saturday afternoon. And we need our model to be effective. We don't need it to be perfect. That's what I'm saying. We need something that can help us spot. For me, it's data for helping us spot prices that we think are out of kilter. I find it easier to do everything based pre-match and then play that forward. As I say, I haven't got the skills of what these people use in play. It's not something I've looked at or would even profess to be. But in effect, if I've got value pre-match on the 1.5 and I move that forward and nothing's happened in that game, the only thing I'm victim of is time decay. And as a result of that time decay, I'm getting a better price. As I say, I think I've done a blog post for last week. I'll do another one this week. I think trying to get it all together in blog posts, I find it personally a difficult subject to talk about. I'd probably be better in a room with a whiteboard and some slides and things, but actually just talking to myself in a room to a microphone and a bit of recording software, I find it a bit harder. But don't be the ultimate line of modelling is don't be scared of it. Do not be scared of it and try and have a look, you know, and perhaps you want to wait now till sort of a quieter time, international break in October, November, to actually start researching and having a look at this. And just little tiny tiptoe steps, one of them where we just take small steps towards something. And you might be surprised at how you get on. Right, I'm out of here. Have a lovely Monday. I'm going to sort all my bets and things out now. So they'll be up over the next hour or so and I will be back with you all. I'll be back tomorrow morning and then we'll be on the normal schedule back on Friday with Scott for the Premier League preview.